Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is the LA Steel Show. And I'm here with Lila tonight.
Good evening.
And we should be being joined by George Dixon quite shortly, we hope. And tonight we're going to discuss the midpoint of the galactic period, which is starts tomorrow, actually May 2nd, and goes toward May 9th. Okay, and George wanted to talk about the current events and how they relate to the midpoint of the galactic period of the Mayan calendar. For those of you who might have joined us the last couple of weeks, we were talking about this particular event and how it relates to these late 60s and early 70s.
No, the particular time period.
Yeah, the 20th century, which was...
How the time period relates, not the event. Not to a particular event, a particular time period.
Well, the time period.
Yeah,
between that the decades of the 60s and early 70s. And I guess we can compare the two quite well when you think of we have a period of liberalism coming back into this country from a period of incredible conservatism. And, you know, back in the mid-60s, there was a collapse of conservatism, the Goldwater period and so on. And then, after 64, when Johnson was elected, and then again into 68 when Nixon was elected, in 72, he was reelected. But fascinating that that period of time kind of correlates to what happened in the last decade or so of our immediate history.
Mm-hmm.
And where you had this arch conservative George Bush, who managed to destroy it's amazing to me how resilient the United States is, though. We survived that horrible era of Nixon and Ford and Carter, and went into Reaganism, and how we survived that mess, and Bushism and Clintonism, and brought our way up to Bushism again, and now
despite,
we're into
despite the meddling, poor decisions.
The horrible things. I mean,
it's
just amazing how the resilience of the American people. And American society. And George is with us. So let's see. I think that's George. Looks like George's number, though. Good evening. Is it George?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey.
Oh, we're good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah,
good to be
right
with you.
George, where are you calling from?
I'm on the road tonight, Leo.
I wonder.
Upstate New York.
Yeah. Huh. So where are you?
Head upstate New York.
Oh, you are? Okay.
All right. So, we were talking about we wanted to talk about the midpoint of the galactic period here and current events. And I was just relating them to how that decade of the 60s and early 70s is very similar to now. Where we had a tremendous surge of liberalism, and then all of a sudden we went back into a period of conservatism, and how resilient the United States really is to
overcome all the bad decisions, the poor, and the people that have made them, and still carry on.
They carry on as a country. It's absolutely amazing. But you got to wonder if God is on our side here. But
he's on everybody's side.
That's right. He's sitting back and laughing and enjoying the whole show that's going on.
Probably. But I was curious to ask you about suddenly we have this resurgence of the swine flu, which is very similar to what happened in 76. And we're bringing about... It seems like everything is secular,
It is.
Everything comes back to us
because
in some way or another, you know. And but it's more or less predicted in this Mayan calendar as to how things will happen. What do you think of it? What are you thinking about tonight, George?
Well, I'm just watching the results of the fifth night and how it's actually come to the surface, but it's reaching a boiling point. And that's what this midpoint period is. It was everything that was exposed from what it was. That was with the fifth night. But its ramifications or the impact is coming out now, and we're going to feel more of this until the midpoint, and we're going to realize basically where we're at. But it's not a matter of trying to find out what's wrong and replace those things that are wrong. It's like a watch. You take a gear out and put another gear in. I don't think we're in that situation, and I don't think the second half of the year is going to work out like that. I think it's just a matter of dropping everything we had and rebuilding or starting anew. Just like the medical health industry in this country, we could focus and look at what the Europeans have done and the Canadians have done. But still, they have some of the same problems that we have. And I think that's going to have to be, that's going to have to change. Somehow we're going to have to change the paradigm that we've been working in for hundreds of years, or at least 100 years.
Well, I think we're getting closer to a unity consciousness here, and I think that's because, I'm looking at this swine flu epidemic and relating this to how it'll, I really strongly believe that it will aid this, it'll provoke this country into accepting universal health care. And I'm hoping, and I really am hoping that it succeeds, and it's in that in the next 6 or 8 months we see a tremendous healthcare bill come across that ensures those 50 million of us, and I should say us because I'm included as well, with adequate healthcare. And it'll be a fascinating time period for us all, I think. And I'm very encouraged. I've been reluctant, on my website, I've been reluctant to write anything. I've been so surprised, actually, at how things are going that for a while I was very critical about the bailouts and about the system as it is. But in the last, and I thank you, and I have to thank you too for this in a way. The those lectures by Manly Hall and some recent readings that I've done on Emerson have really made me contemplate and rethink my attitudes toward things. And kind of instead of becoming critical, I'm trying to become positive in the light of what's going on here. And I really believe that, and I see this huge margin of approval for the political for Obama and for what's happening, even though we're in a horrible recession.
His popularity hasn't seemed to have waned.
It doesn't seem to, and it seems that people are optimistic in the sense that they're hoping and believing that something good will come of this, and that we'll get ourselves straightened out. And George, that's a unity consciousness that I want to tap into because, optimism is what saves this country, and always has. Regardless of the conspiracy aspects of everything and the theories and so on and so forth and everything that you can throw at it, by God, in some way, just sit back and meditate and pray for the best of everything and everything, and I think the best will happen. Now, what do you think about that?
I'm scared about the whole thing. I'm scared about this pandemic that they're building up here. But what scares me is I know the technology and the work that we've had. And years ago, I remember the Strecker memorandum about AIDS and so forth. I do believe that it was a man-made disease,
weapon,
if you want to call it that.
AIDS was definitely a man-made weapon, and so is the swine flu, the man-made, as well.
Go ahead, George.
They were also talking about this flu as being a bio-engineered type of disease. So, that scares me because we have the ability to do that. And I think there's so many different coincidences that have happened in the last couple of weeks. I mean, right off the bat, the WHO raised the alarm, I think, to 5 on the scale that they use there.
That's right.
And, there's a little over 100 people affected in the United States, and I think they're blowing its way out of proportion.
No, it definitely is. But I think, too, that, we were talking about the possibility of this swine flu being directed at the Latino race.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a strong feeling that it might be, because we spoke before about this, and not on the air, but we spoke about this, that the Israelis were developing a bioweapon that would affect the Arab race, all right, and that's very, very real. And it's still ongoing.
So they said we haven't seen any evidence. But what evidence do you have, George, on the have you seen anything in the articles that you've researched that there's evidence that this is racially targeted?
Well, the evidence is there however you read it. And let's go back to understanding some of this consciousness that we've been talking about the last couple of years and what we're experiencing is just the building up of consciousness that's manifesting itself. And, it's just like during World War II, you had the Nazis who were doing experiments on people. But that stuff, it still continued, and it still continues to this day. Now, it has to manifest itself or fulfill itself, if you'd want to call it that, and including the people that are involved with that. It's like, we're being hit now with things that were started years ago that we put in motion, and even though we've changed our views on it, but understand the original motion or thing was put into motion, so it's got to catch up with ourselves. I do believe, though, there is an intervention here, and the intervention is some of the technology. Which is part of this new paradigm that we're experiencing. And part of that understanding is using energy, light, and sound, and use it for healing. And I think this is where our technology has gone, where we can actually reproduce a frequency, and it will either cure or harm us. I mean, we have it for harm, and we've used it for harm. But we can also use it to cure us and to eliminate, some of this disease that we've been experiencing in the last couple hundred years. It's a different way of looking at it.
I agree with you, George, and I agree with you. But I think, too, that that the focus now, and has been for the last couple of years, on this illegal immigration aspect, the flood, the absolute deluge, okay, of illegal immigration into the United States from Mexico, and I believe this is a theory. I'm not sure if I totally am certain of it yet, but I believe that the Latino population is being targeted, and again, mm-hmm. one of the biggest fears by white supremacists as well as geneticists as well as eugenicists, are that in the United States is that the Mexican population is due for an explosion within the next 10 to 15 years. right? That by 2020, we're looking at a possibility of a 50% population of Hispanics in the United States. So if there's ever a time or ever a reason for these eugenicists, okay, if you will, and population control people and global 2000 architects to devise a method to reduce the population, it would definitely be aimed at the Latino race, okay, at the Hispanic race, and that would be and I think that's a very 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 strong possibility as to what this swine flu is and why it started in Mexico and why it's sweeping through that country, all right. And it'll be interesting to see exactly what the toll is in Mexico from this swine flu. But right now in the United States it's virtually non-existent. I mean, 100 cases. I mean, 36,000 cases of flu. 36,000 deaths occur yearly in the United States from the normal flu epidemic. I mean, there's only been one death so far of a Latino child, okay, in the United States since the outbreak. And all of a sudden, this tremendous scare, all right, is for some reason, I believe, is being focused on containment and control of the population in this country for bigger and better, not bigger and better, but bigger and worse things to come. But again,
well, I do think there are all alternative motives being put into motion right now.
Oh, absolutely.
A rational person would look at this much different if they sat back, and take a look at what has been going on and what's been happening.
Right.
Including now they pinpointed where this thing, virus came from, the pig farm, and supposedly there was one boy that was affected. And he was affected about 4 weeks ago, and after a couple of weeks or so, before he felt better, and he was all well again. But you know, one person,
one death attributed. I think it was a 24 month old child that was attributed to the flu death, and this,
yeah.
And he was Hispanic. But what?
You know the old saying: if a law walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it is a duck.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm not going to sit and wait around to find out, you know, what more evidence is going to come to the surface down the line. You know, I see a smoke screen here, but what scares me is that, it may have the physical effects by making people sick, but it's scaring the hell out of the people who really are scared to death to begin with. Just surviving and keeping a job and running a house.
Oh, yeah,
we don't need no more.
One more bullet, you know, to the head. And it's like I strongly believe that it's all part and parcel of the same conspiracy. But you know, there's no question that because we report a lot on chemtrail activity and around the country and then locally as well. But you know, When you think of these things that are happening, and you think of how what we're seeing now, all right, and now with the swine flu and avian flu and all these other things, the swine flu is actually I read that it is also mingled with avian flu and a human pathogen, all right, that makes it communicable through airborne. And this is a bioweapon without a doubt. And 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, I started reading these reports about the 1918 flu, that pandemic that killed 150 million people worldwide. But that particular, what they did recently was they extracted that flu, that bacteria from dead remains, actually, and started to do experiments with it with the swine flu and the avian flu, and it looks like they might have come up with some kind of concoction now, and released it in Mexico. And And for people who aren't aware, factually, this is all fact and not fiction, the swine flu was actually formulated in Fort Dix, at a laboratory in Fort Dix. And
what evidence do you have of that, Leo?
That was, I've read 50 to 60 articles, I would say.
I remember running across that in the 90s and following this New World Order.
Oh, in the 70s, actually, in 76,
yeah.
The swine flu scare first came out. But there's been manipulation ever since. I can bring up these articles. I've saved many of them. So, but I can prove that these things have happened and have been ongoing. Research has been ongoing. So, because I tend to print out everything that I read on the air. So, and keep them in an archive to prove my points. But no question that the avian flu, and recently, like I said, I read that the avian flu, swine flu, and human pathogen have been combined to make this because the SARS or the SARS, which was the avian flu, turned out to be a phony baloney. It turned out to go nowhere. Okay, even though it killed about 600 people worldwide, but it was mostly concentrated in the in Indonesia and in the Asian countries. But the swine flu now is considered a pandemic because it crossed the border of the United States and Mexico. But I would say from what it looks like, it probably won't be any more effective than the SARS flu was, all right, from based on what we see right now. Because if it was really, really bad, we would see, hundreds of thousands of people infected by it already, and possibly millions. And I don't
know. As with law, there's got to be a remedy somewhere. There's got to be a saving point here that can intervene and neutralize us or cancel us out somehow. Don't you believe?
Oh, I agree. Somehow is that. But, they just passed the law to allow weather modification and chemtrailing. Just in March, the Congress passed a law that opened it up for, that allowed it to happen.
They've had weather contracts.
The most recent law and a set of other laws that
have
been passed.
Right, but
that's
at the same
just
time,
a recent one.
I mean, right now, I mean, the government is collusive, is in collusion with whatever. Okay,
really is like a shadow government doing these things,
right, and trying to call the population. I strongly believe they are, and there's no other reason why we're seeing
based on what was said in Global 2000.
Right. Based on the Global 2000 report, which was instigated by Carter, signed off by Reagan, okay, and it's been perpetuated since, all right, and these problems are real, according to these reports. We're up to 7 billion people right now, and they're concerned that the planet can't contain that many people in a healthy way, so, But again, nature has always been able to modify its make that correction, and without man's
interference.
But between the millions of people that are losing their lives in the wars and through diseases and starvation and so on and so forth, I mean it's just an ongoing process.
Hard for Mother Nature to keep up.
Yeah. So mankind is, helping it along. But anyway, I'm sorry, George. Go ahead.
you sound like a record. Where this thing is going and with no salvation. But I think with these apps.
There's salvation, George. But it's just that. Right now what we're seeing and what we're going through is kind of a tribulation period, I believe, and it makes a lot more sense if you put it in context with the Mayan calendar and the prophecies as well as the Judeo-Christian prophecies, as well as any other prophecies, that these are end times that we're dealing with, and I think we are. We're seeing things that are unprecedented in history, and we're seeing starvation and pandemics beyond the pale of anything we've ever seen before. And yet, how much of that? I mean, we've never had 7 billion people on this planet before either. All right. I was looking at statistics over the many over the population, estimated population over the many years of civilization over the last several. I think it was like 3,000 or 4,000 years, and the population never got above 3 billion people up until the 20th century. Then all of a sudden, in the 20th century, it just exploded. You know, due to the advent of public sewer systems and water systems and health systems that were created worldwide. And of course, medicine, the advance of medicine and everything else in the 20th century, we suddenly saw this incredible explosion. Okay, about.
Leo, you know, you talk about the end times as being a glass half full instead of half empty instead of half full. Who is to say that the end times is going to end with cataclysms or death or anything of that nature?
Well, it already. No, I'm saying that it already is. Right? I mean, we're already seeing it. I mean, you're seeing earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and tornadoes and fires beyond belief, fires like crazy. You're seeing.
We don't know whether it's any more than ever, though.
No, but you're seeing death in magnified proportions now, and of course. It's magnified also because you have the advent of telecommunications. You have television, you have radio, you have internet, you have magazines, you have publications. So it's like
all right.
All of this is not only there, but it's also magnified 100% because of the immediacy of our communications. But
let's go back to human potential now. We still have, 2.5 more years into 2012, right?
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of things could happen in this time span. And who's to say that what we're experiencing now is just part of the experience we are to rectify this whole problem, as you would say, in the end of the devastation that or the crumbling that must fall?
Right.
Who's to say that we won't be able to activate genes within our DNA to help us or to deal with these diseases that we've experienced, and it's just a matter of activating these suckers.
Well,
just like over the years, the human body has activated itself or changed itself to adapt to the environment.
But
and who say that we won't be able to do this, ourselves?
Well, who's to say that we haven't already done that? And you
say right.
It's already happening, and how people are becoming immune. Now, for instance, AIDS has been a pandemic since the 80s, early 80s, and that was a biological weapon that was unleashed on people in the gay community, actually. In San Francisco was the first in the bathhouse.
Sorry.
But anyway, there's no question that that was a biological weapon unleashed on the gay community during the Reagan period. All right.
Now, what evidence do you have of that, or is that just a guess?
Don't ask me that, Lila. That there's bajillions, quadrillion articles and evidence and scientific evidence about that.
I don't see any scientific evidence.
I can't bring it up to you at this moment, but I have. There are millions of articles written on this and proof positive that AIDS was a biological
weapon. I've
seen
guesses, but I've never seen really
any proof. Yes, I will show you a million of them. All right, we'll go back in history and through the archives of time, okay, and I'll show you that.
I've seen some articles written on that, but nobody's really been able to prove it.
They have proven it. It was a biological weapon designed to tried first in the San Francisco bathhouses. That's where it first created, was spawned, and then it flew out, and then it became, you know, a pandemic.
The articles that I saw didn't trace it that way. They traced it to a male steward flying from Africa. It's a moot point.
Go ahead, George. Because it's killing millions of people every year. All right.
Leo, you're right. Who's to say that this virus now that we've been hitting with is not part of the same research or stems from the same work that was being done way back then?
Well,
who's to say that it isn't? Other than...
Like here in Connecticut, George, they got Plum Island right off the coast of Connecticut here.
Sure.
Which is a highly biological weapons research lab area.
Not very far off the shore
right.
at all.
And where did Lyme disease first happen was in Connecticut, on the shoreline of Connecticut. Okay, Lyme disease based on Lyme, Connecticut. All right, the town of Lyme.
Well, they named it Lyme, Connecticut, but there was an article in Newsday years ago, and they actually pinpointed that they were working with ticks from certain sheets and so forth that they believed that got out.
There's no question about that. In fact, there's no doubt about that.
It just happened to get out there in Lyme, Connecticut, across the water, yeah.
It was given Lyme disease. Okay, that's why it was named that. And Plum Island has been a notorious spot. There have been a number of books written, some of them I've actually read about Plum Island and with the research that's gone on down there.
I've done some interviews with people who worked at Plum Island. Going back in the early 90s.
Right.
What did they say, George? Anything that you can remember in particular?
Well, I think just the security and getting in and getting out of there, that was a big problem. Not only from the diseases themselves that they were experimenting with there, but also some of the other research they were doing with animal manipulating or dealing with certain diseases or experimental research.
It's well known down here, and everybody's concerned about it. But yet, it's a black operation, and it's been there for years. And as a result, we have, interestingly enough, we have the Nile virus, and we have Lyme disease, which are all. All come from that particular those
coast
areas.
Of Connecticut.
That's right, and escaped from Plum Island research. So
might have.
Might have, but that Lyme disease is pretty much assured that it did. But nevertheless,
well, there's something else. There's some secret-y stuff that's going on there, I got some strange stories, and at the time, a fellow was telling me that he was. He worked there, but they fired him. And he was a bit of a drinking man. And he was telling me that they had cows there with no legs that they had slinged over a rack. And that basically was just some experiments that they were doing.
Oh.
But like I said, these are just some of the stories that came out of there. it makes you wonder. How far they can go with some of this stuff.
It's weird stuff. Like I said, I've read several. There's several books out specifically dealing with Plum Island. I read one that was really frightening. And I remember talking to Ralph Nader about it as well, mm-hmm. interview I did, and he stated that it was a serious concern as well with all the nuclear problems that were related to the coast of Connecticut. They had very bad circumstances. But see, my getting back to this culling of these experiments and this biological weapons and so on. Getting back to that, I'm certain that it's happening. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that it's happening. It's just and to what degree and how we are able to combat that, and if we are, how our immune systems are being decimated by not only by normal stress related things. Stress creates depletion of your immune system, but now with these chemtrails and with these pathogens being thrown into the air, and with water being polluted with fluorides and other chemicals, it's just a huge conspiracy, man, to deplete our immune systems. Okay, and of course, and you can't deny all of these immunodeficiency diseases that are out there, like multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, Alzheimer's, all of the things that have come up within the last 10 to 20 years.
Myasthenia gravis.
Yeah, exactly. All of these strange diseases that that mankind has never faced before, okay, suddenly are cropping up through the development of these bioweapons.
You know what everybody needs?
I'm sorry, what?
You know what everybody needs?
What's that?
Get out of jail free card. So they won't be affected by this.
Not only that, but what we really have to concentrate on, I think, is the detoxification of our bodies, of heavy metals and so on.
Already available, but not to everybody.
Well, it is available, but it's available through, for instance, North American Urban Spice, the company that we know pretty well, and a guy named Cass Ingram, who's a doctor, who creates these herbal medicines. The detoxification of the human body is critical of the heavy metals and of all these things. And if we do these things properly, and the attention gets out there and people understand them, there is a possibility that we can
reverse
some of these ailments that we're.
Well, maybe you have people who don't want to reverse it.
Say that again.
So what if you have people who don't want to reverse it?
Well, of course you have people that don't want to. They want people, and this is why the FDA has come down so hard on holistic and
herbal
remedies. Okay, the FDA is coming down extremely hard on all of these companies that have created these herbal remedies for these things. And not only due to the pressure by the pharmaceutical companies,
they're coming down on them, Leo.
They're trying to censor the cures for these horrible ailments that are coming around.
What did you say, George?
Why are they doing this?
Well, it's the like I said. If we go back to the Global 2000 report,
but Leo, why are they doing this?
No, I'm serious. It explains it very, very well. That they need to cull the human population. I mean, these people are strong eugenicists who believe that in abortion, believe in euthanasia, believe in all forms of mass eugenics and methods of eugenics. I mean, even guys like Jacques Cousteau, remember Jacques Cousteau, all right?
Yeah.
He said the world should be no bigger than, that there should be no more than 3 billion people on the earth, all right? And, and he says the earth can't contain more than 3 billion people, and that every more than that should be, there shouldn't be any more than that. You go back into these...
Hey, Leo.
Back into
Leo.
These people have stated and who they were.
Leo.
Yeah.
Why do you think the earth is only can hold so many people?
I'm not saying it can. I think it can hold as many as
good.
But what I'm trying to say is that
other people don't feel
that
way.
Is that the people they're very, 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 very powerful people, okay, who are directing these things and directing and control of the military and control of the chemtrail operations and control of these governments and control of these genocides, all right? These are the people that are committed to mass murder and mass genocide and culling, complete culling of the human population on the earth. And, you know, over and above the extinction of animals, all right? I mean, you get Greenpeace and PETA and all of these other groups, all right? These guys are, if you look at who are sponsoring them, they're all sponsored by basically the same groups, all right? And that are advocating, population control and population reduction. And, that's where we're at. So, George, I don't think there's nothing we can do other than talk about it, all right, to stop it, all right? It's already in the works. But all we can do is warn people and protect ourselves by trying to understand what is out there, what is happening, why it's happening, and what we can use to prevent it from affecting us. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, George.
Well, I would protect myself, but what other people do is their business. And for me to get involved and tell them what they should and what shouldn't do would be no good. You know, the least thing, the best thing to do is that if you don't like something, turn around and walk the other way. And, you know, even though there are controls way above us, there's only so much control, there's so many things that we could do. But if nothing else, by walking away from it, you know, we don't take on the battle or continue the battle. Just like people are going to have to realize on their own that something is wrong. And they're going to have to walk away from it. You can only do so much. But, you know, why spend time on other people when, you know, you have enough with yourself to keep you busy?
Well,
even with these doctors and so forth, there are herbal medicines and herbologists that can heal people almost just as well as a normal surgeon would. But it's just dealing with it differently. And we have options.
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, I personally, okay, feel that other people there are people listening to this program tonight. There are people that are listening to what we say on Friday nights and Wednesday nights and Thursday nights and Tuesday nights. But I feel it's as a human being. And as trying to be a responsible human being, okay, that I should, I feel it's necessary to alert people, especially if you have the availability to the media as we do, that we, you notice them and you notify them. Not everybody has this social consciousness that we have, but at the same time, I found over the years that we develop it in other people, and people who listen to our programs are alerted to this and tell other people and say, geez, listen to L.A. Steel Show, listen to this, listen to this.
Well,
and you know, it's a social consciousness. I mean, it's not something that everybody has to have, but it's something that we have or that I have. That makes me want to come on this show and talk about these things.
The problem is that we've accepted things that have been done to us by the government and not really explored why they've done what's behind.
That's right.
A perfect example, at least for me, is fluoride in the water and in products. I've known about fluoride.
And aspartame, too. Don't forget aspartame.
Those are two things, really, and aspartame as a sugar and as a diet product. When I was naive, before I became aware, I just accepted aspartame as a product and thought it was a good thing. you know, to help people reduce and all that kind of
sugar,
thing, and not put on
right.
weight as a sugar substitute. It turns out you couldn't choose anything more horrid except maybe fluoride to do to yourself, which they put in toothpaste and in water, supposedly to reduce cavities. And when you find out a little more information, you find it really doesn't have anything to do with cavities at all.
No, what it does is
dental health.
It actually breaks down your immune system, causes all kinds of thyroid problems. Okay, and I read an article the other. On Wednesday night that related it from a doctor in England who related thyroid failure actually to fluoridation of water and fluoride, and that fluoride is actually a pesticide. It was designed as a pesticide, right?
It was brought to us by the Nazis.
Right.
For trying to control their population.
Because what it does is it destroys the mind. It creates, and not only does it destroy the mind, but oddly enough, it's been found to destroy the enamel in your teeth and give you gum disease.
Bone.
I mean, yeah.
That's crazy.
And yet they're throwing this out to you as a dental product. All right.
And what happens is, George, is the effect is cumulative. It's not just your water in the toothpaste. It's every liquid.
Yeah.
You know, every liquid has, or lots of products have water in it, and that water has fluoride.
Yeah.
So, and over time, it's just cumulative, and all these problems, a lot of these health problems that we have
are really
self-induced by some of the choices that
combine the fluoride with the chlorine that's thrown into all water systems. I mean, my God, you've got, you know, what you're creating, you got two highly toxic chemicals, all right, that are in our water system that we're ingesting every day. And so, you know, all of these things that we see that are supposedly beneficial to the public health are actually turning out to be extremely
deadly.
Okay. And detrimental. And if you go back and research what the scientific value of it was and how they developed these things, you find out that much of this stuff was developed during the Nazis. Okay,
in Germany.
That's right.
Germany, and it scared the living bejesus out of you, because you realize that what they were trying to do is not only cull their own people, but in control mass, they found that it worked great for mind control because it dumbed down the whole population.
Well, the poor body is trying to fight off all these.
Yeah, but fluoride actually causes short circuits in the brain, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
so it's like, hey, what the hell?
You convinced me. But I've been convinced. I understand what you're talking about. But what do you do now? If nothing else, what's come to the surface is our knowledge of that, the unity knowledge of what we've been doing for so many years, and now we're seeing the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the crumbling of what's happening to Wall Street. Understand, it's not just the banking system, it's the legal system. And still, things are falling now in the high courts, the Supreme Court. I believe one of the justices is going to retire. So
yes,
there's going to be change in our judicial law. Understand that part of the problem with the banking system has been through the legal system, where we've changed, gone over, you know, from common law to equity law. It's modified, but that is part of the problems we have now with the court systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So hopefully we'll be able to change that around. I don't know until somebody figures out what the, you know, somebody stands up to say what's actually happening. I think
that's what's happening right now.
I'm trying to finish myself.
Well, let him finish.
But what I'm saying is I think that we're at a point now where this is a clearing. This is a clearing time. And people are starting to become aware of what the Federal Reserve System is, and what our banking system is, and what our public systems are, and whatnot, and how and what they're doing to us. And I think that relates to the Mayan calendar very well. This is that sixth period, sixth day, and this is a clearing time.
You know, I'm still waiting to what's going to happen in the next week and a half or so, and seeing what's going to come to the surface yet. And you know, to predict, you know, what we can do for the second half of this year, I don't know until I see the whole picture. And
yeah, I don't know either, but. I think we'll know more in a couple of weeks with this midpoint, and we'll start seeing either a rise or decline of our society.
Well, there's a lot of things in motion right now. Not only with this disease that we've been exposed to, but also the healthcare management system that is on the blinks of fall itself. So, you know, that is yet to fall, but here again, it's starting, and it's starting with a bang here with this virus alert.
Well, it seems that in Mexico, the healthcare system couldn't handle it at all.
No.
That's what I got out of what
They don't have socialized medicine.
They don't have that.
They don't have any way to take care
of their population, and so people aren't treated.
Right.
Even though the border is permeable, we don't seem to have had the problem that they've had there.
Not yet. But again, even if you look back at what they're doing in Mexico or whatnot, I think you have to believe that something's happening.
Mm.
And now that we're at the midpoint, I think we're not only going to be seeing the exposure of the banking system, the health system.
And George has mentioned the new legal system.
And the legal system. But I also think we're looking at the complete industrialization of this country and its
collapse.
Also its restructure, because the Chapter 11 of Chrysler yesterday, you know, it was a major.
And I'm sure there are many other companies that alarm for
what's happening.
One of the things that I just heard was, and I wasn't aware of, like a company like even L.L. Bean is in bankruptcy. Somebody told me. Did you hear that, George?
No, I didn't. No, it wouldn't surprise me though.
Yeah, they've declared bankruptcy.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I heard that at
lunch.
That was kind of
a high end.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other companies out there that are having serious problems. It's not just the car industry.
But there've been a lot of retailers for the last year
that are all crumbling and falling by the wayside.
Car industries are being hurt because the subcontractors who build parts for them can't produce it, because they don't have the raw goods and materials to work with.
Nor do they have credit, and the credit is being stopped. So, you know, these small companies and a lot of these subcontractors and large businesses aren't getting banks aren't lending to them. So, the way they were, and so they can't afford to bankroll these their products. Lines, so they have to close them down, and you're seeing it, and we're seeing it. It's probably harder to see now because we're right in the middle of it, and we're seeing it. We're getting it from all sides, but
I don't believe that in coincidences. And you know, you're taking a look at what's going on right now, just with Mexico.
Yeah.
And the coincidences of building this border wall and keeping the Mexicans out, you know, the reality of something like this could be very real. And it's the foresight of the work that's gone into this. More so
even now, George, with this pandemic, that people want to, build a 1,000-foot wall around the, 1,000-foot high walls, or throughout Mexico.
That's not going to keep the germ out.
No, it won't. But it'll it's all this. Like to me, George, the biggest problem that we have is for people to look at reality, okay, look at what really is happening around them. And, I mean, it's no different than trying to convince people to look in the air, look up, just look at the sky, you know, look at the sky and see what's happening there. And, you know, you get people denying that there's chemtrails, they're calling you conspiracy theorists, they're calling you nuts, oh, the world, they're not doing this, they're not doing... And you give them all this information, and all they have to do is look up in the air. Look up on any given day, and you'll see chemtrails like hell.
But who is the person that said that nothing becomes real unless they hear it on...
On CNN. You know, I mean, it's
and
like,
then they'll believe it.
Yeah, you know.
But that time it's too late.
And to me, the biggest criminals in this country, the biggest criminals in the world, are weathermen. The people like weather. Okay? Those guys should be...
Job, Leo.
Shot and quartered. You know, I mean, these guys are nothing but lying scumbags. Right? They know. They
Leo,
know.
They're earning a living. That's all they're doing.
They refuse to tell the world about it. They refuse to say anything about it. Oh, it's going to be a sunny day today.
They probably lose their job.
But, you know, where are these guys? I mean, what kind of a mental, midget, moronic, cowardly, you know, pieces of crap are these people? You know,
somebody's got a mortgage of $2,200 a month.
That's why I think anybody on the mainstream media is a piece of crap. You know, cowardly, you know, sellouts. You know, nothing, you know, the worst kind of person, worst kind of human animal, you know. You know, these people that would sell out their own people for $1 million, you know, and you know, or whatever their salaries might be.
But that's
what they are, you know, and, you know. And it's a sham and a shame, and it's horrible. And
well, you know what they say, what comes around goes around, Leo. So, you know, if you're going to walk the tightrope, you're going to have to experience it.
Being around on the television, and people still believe them and still watch them and email them and say what a nice person they are. And little children are sending them pictures every morning, okay, that they can put on the air and showing chemtrail skies. You know, I was watching this asshole put up a picture the other day of cloudy skies. The kids were actually drawing chemtrails in the sky. Okay.
Well, that's because
over
never
there,
seen a sky that looked any other way.
Yeah, they're actually drawing chemtrail-looking skies.
If you're six years old, those are Leo.
No, but listen to what
I'm
saying. These asshole weathermen are saying, oh, isn't this cute by Marcy? Or isn't this cute by Becky? Little Becky from the third grade. Okay. But here are these criminals, the common bastard criminals, psychopathic weathermen, okay, are able to do this to you, I mean, and do this to the people is unconscionable. And, you know, they should be quartered, I mean, shot.
You already
quartered.
Mentioned that.
Yeah, they should be.
Well, the reason the children draw it like that is they've never seen a sky that looks
any
other way.
Of course not, but they're drawing what they see.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the only real thing. The adults are not real.
To me like that. But nevertheless, that's what they're seeing.
I think the children are drawing what they see.
Yeah.
It's good for these kids drawing this stuff. They can look at it, can laugh, and they can joke about it, and it won't affect them.
They see it for what it is. Oh, it is affecting them.
Oh, there, yo, childhood asthma is up 3,000% over the last, you know, five.
Yeah, because we told them that's what's going to happen with this stuff. But if you didn't tell them that, they would laugh it off.
Yeah, you know, oh, yeah, they can laugh at it, George, but they're all dying from it.
The physical
right?
effects.
And their parents are...
That's not true, Leo.
Oh, and weather guys are saying, oh, what a wonderful picture I got today. You know, let them all die. So it's like, it's a sad, sad comment, but by God, it's real. And that's where we're at right now. And hopefully, George, hopefully, in the next year, I'm giving it a year, people will suddenly start looking up and saying, what the hell is going on, all right, and stop.
Well, I think we're doing that now, but a year from now, we're going to have to take a look at it and rectify it and do something.
If we're still around. You know,
I'm going to be around, Leo.
All of us. Huh?
Think positive.
George plans to be around, and so do
well,
I.
I'd like to be around, too, but, you know. I tell you, the more heavily they start chemtrailing those damn skies and the stuff that comes down on us, we don't know how long we're going to be around. And
the more I'm going to laugh at them, the more they're not going to affect me.
I couldn't hear you, George. What did you say?
I said, the more I look up and see them, the more I'm going to laugh and smile at them because I think they're funny, because they're not going to affect me.
Hope you can put your own private shell around you so it doesn't.
I do, yes.
Well, I already have, dear. I'm just saying, so who's to say that we can't do that and actually turn on whatever genes or whatever our body needs to take care of this deficiency, and it'll take care of it.
Well,
it's like, you know, we have genes and we have abilities that we haven't even tapped into.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we have the gene to hibernate if we needed to. We have it in our DNA, but we don't activate it. I'm just saying that there's a whole slew of stuff inside of us that all we have to do is believe that we could turn on a certain gene and it will take care of that.
Well, I hope that's true. And you know what? That would be a good topic for next week. Jumping off from there, what is the hidden potential of the human body to deal with some of the things that we're faced with now?
Yeah.
And so, maybe we should do a little research on that and see if we could find out, you know.
Yeah, what kind of potential we have to adapt to this. And
to the difficulties that we've created in our own environment. You know,
okay.
Those are all human creations that have spoiled the world that we live in.
Yeah, but all that doesn't mean that it's all bad. Maybe if we take a look at it and
mm-hmm.
changed it just a little bit, that it would be better.
That's right. And that's something that we should really look at a little bit, I think, and maybe talk a little bit more next week.
Yeah.
I like that. I would like to talk about that because I think that would be a great help to all of us.
I think so. But right now, believe it or not, the show's already done, George. We're not streaming anymore.
Okay. Well, it's been fun.
Yeah.
And you're on the road?
Yeah, I'm on the road. I should be back tomorrow.
Oh, good.
All right. So anyway, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you then. And
I'll talk to you over the weekend.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for being with us, George. And
take care and have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Please, God be with you.
You too,
and good night, George, and good night,
thanks, folks,
and thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And I hope next week we can pick up from here on a more positive note.
Yeah, I think
we can all agree that there's a lot of negativity. Maybe we can get on the more positive.
Yeah. All right, we'll try to do that. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us. Sorry we couldn't open the chat room tonight, but my flash player isn't working, and I can't hook up to we're having a lot of technical problems with this stuff, and we apologize. But in the meantime, we thank you for listening, and join us next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Oh, and by the way, you can join us on Tuesday nights as well, our two-hour Tuesday night FM show on WQQQ.com, all right? Tuesday nights, WQQQ.com. We're live on the Internet, streaming live from our FM studio, and, you know, hopefully you can you'll pick us up there. And on Tuesday night, we'll be having Brad Friedman with us. He'll be talking about the prosecution of, he's a bradblog.com. He'll be talking about the Coleman and Franken election in Minnesota, as well as talking about the prosecution of the of Bush and Cheney and all of the Bush administration for high war crimes. And so you can join us then. That'll be on Wednesday night, Tuesday night, actually, and we'll replay that interview on Wednesday night here on our Blog Talk Radio show. So thank you for joining us, and we wish you the best of the evening, and have a great weekend. And good night.